we are cognizant of our own body, right? If my toe is aching, I am aware. If my stomach is aching, I am aware. But you are not aware of what's happening in my body. Whereas God is aware of everything that's happening all over. There is nothing that is unknown to Him. Therefore, He is universally conscious. Supreme consciousness. We are individual consciousness. Individual consciousness means I am aware only what's happening with my body. I am not aware of what's... Actually, I am not even aware of everything that is happening in my body. I am only aware of something that is happening in my body. If there is a tumor growing, I don't know unless diagnosed by a physician. But I am aware of something. But God, by definition, is He who is aware of, completely conscious of everything. And a soul is a loving servitor. We are servants of God, while the Lord is eternally a loving master. One who realizes this and lives on this principle, such a person is called self-realized. That's called self-realization. I am not the body, I am the soul. And the soul is part of God. Therefore, my first and foremost duty is to serve God. So after realizing it, you act on that platform. That is called self-realization. So, we are one in quality with God, but minute in quantity. And our salvation depends on the acceptance of this reality. What is mukti? To realize you mukta, you get liberated. Liberated from what? Liberated from identification with the body. And you realize that I am the eternal, knowledgeable, blissful soul. Such a person is a muktatma. Muktatma means he is liberated from identifying himself with the body. And therefore, the soul is part of God. Therefore, totally he engages in the service of God. That is called self-realization. So now we will quickly have the slides. Can we? Basically, whatever we have discussed so far, generally the slideshow summarizes that, and also this slideshow are developed so that, I was reading a book which says, when information is audio and visual, you remember much better. If it's only audio, most of it is forgotten after so many days. When audio and visual, you retain it for longer. At least the remembrance is there. So, we have the lights off. So who am I? This question has been asked since time immemorial. Next. There is an identity crisis. In fact, great souls from the time of Socrates in the modern history books we find, two other great thinkers from all over different civilizations have pondered on this particular question. Who are we ultimately? What's our identity? What's our natural constitutional position? Next. The Gita says we are not the temporary body but the eternal soul. We find sometimes when some person dies, there is so much of lamentation in spite of the fact that the body is there. That means we are not this body. Next. So, it's actually the consciousness. Any matter reminds the person of the consciousness. And therefore, the nature of the soul is consciousness. Next. Many proofs that we were discussing. One study is called the outer body experience or near-death experiences. And here we find something like that. Man is being operated, clinically dead, but he explains that he was above the body, watching his own body being operated and how he has died, and reports back everything that happened afterwards. Next. And another kind of study is past life memories. Dr. Ian Stevenson, who has studied over 2,000 cases all over the world, he reports one particular case of one girl whose name was Shukla. This red girl in red dress, her name was Shukla. She was born in a village, and when she was 3 years old, she started saying she would take a small pillow, not just 2, 2.5 years old. She would take a pillow in her hand like a child and say, Minu, 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 as if that is the name of the child. And at a particular age, in 3, 3.5, she started pushing her parents that you please take me to such and such a village. She gave the whole address. I want to go to that village. I want to meet my husband and I want to meet my child Minu. And they were shocked. They thought that she's gone mad, crazy. But later they found out that something like that village existed. Even the parents had never heard about it. Father was in the railways. Pradhan, some Chakravarti or something. This is from near Bengal. Though Bharatpur actually. From there, the parents took her and they landed in that village. As soon as the train stopped in that village, she jumped out and started walking as if she knew that place before. And on the way, she met an old man and suddenly she bent her head down out of shyness. And later it was confirmed that it was her ex-father-in-law. And in the village, in the father-in-law, you just bow down a little shy. And then she went into the village and there was a house and she seemed a bit confused. And later it was found that after her death, the front door was sealed and from the by lane, there was an entrance to the home. And therefore that confusion. She was wondering why the door is not there at the place where it was supposed to be. And then she entered the home and there were 21 male members. For the first time this girl is walking in, 21 male members, but she immediately pointed to her husband and told, this is my husband. And she embraced her daughter who was senior to him, her. And with tears in her eyes, motherly love, she's embracing a child who is elder to her. And she recognized her child. In fact, later when her ex-husband came to their home, she told her current mother what to cook, what is his favorite dish. And later it was confirmed that that was his favorite dish. So in this way, and she was able to point out all her, where she would keep her things, and where she had died, how she had died. She remembered every detail. Next. This is Dr. Satwant Pasricha. She is the Associate Professor of Psychiatry at the National Institute of Mental Health and Neurosciences, NIMHANS, at Bangalore. I met her about 1.5 years back. And this lady, she is the student of Dr. Ian Stevenson, and under her she is doing so many studies. And she has studied over 400 cases of these past life cases, or cases of reincarnation as we generally call it. So she has studied that. Next. This girl, this lady in red color sari, her name is Manju. But in her previous life, her name was Krishna. Not the Supreme Lord, but her name was Krishna. And this lady, she drowned in the village well and she died. But in her next life, she remembered her previous mother. To her left is her previous mother. And to her right side is her current mother. And now she lives with both of them for some time in a year, to just to satisfy them. Identity crisis. And that mother is convinced, because she has given so many details, and the mother is convinced that this is none other than same Krishna who has come back as Manju. Next. This boy, when he was very young, now he is a little grown old, he looked at this lady who was passing by and suddenly said, "There goes my wife." She was shocked. And later, he revealed the details of their intimate relationships. And she was shocked. She was convinced that this person is none other than her husband. But amazingly, surprisingly, this Dr. Satwant Pasricha, she told me that as these children grow up, slowly they start forgetting their past life. Even in the cases who remember, very rarely few remember, but even in those cases, in the first 6 years, their remembrance is very strong. Every detail, every small detail they remember of till up to their point of death, how they died, who killed them. But then, as they about 6 years, they start it fading. In fact, one time we were doing a program, one of our devotees was doing a program in Ruparel College, and one boy stood up and he said, "I am also a case of reincarnation." So we thought he was joking. Generally, you know, boys get up to impress all the girls in the class. So we thought he was joking. But later he brought all the paper cuttings and he showed. He was also studied by one of the students of Ian Stevenson. His name was Deep Kapadia. 2 years back he was in second year of engineering, science, BSc. In fact, to one of our Gita courses, we had called him and he shared his experiences of how he remembered. So, many, many cases like this have been studied. Next. This is another interesting. The person in blue colored shirt, the fellow who is sitting on the cot is his current father. And the children around him are his ex-sons, previous life sons. And the lady who is sitting behind is her wife or his wife. And she is convinced that this is my husband. In fact, when he came, he brought some sweets which the children like. He knew it. So in this way, this lady, Satwant Pasricha, she has traveled all over North India. She has studied more than 400 cases. Of course, she has ruled out all fabricated cases. Sometimes people fabricate. My child is this, so that they say that my son is the son of a rich man so that he will get some property. So they rule out, very scientifically they rule out all fabrications. Until and unless they are 100% convinced of the fact, they don't present it in a conference. So all these cases of 400 are absolutely scientifically proved that there is no other evidence other than the fact that the same person has come in another body in the next life. Next. This is another girl, Sudha, who was beaten up on her head. In fact, in her next life, she had a birthmark on her head at the same place where she was hit and she was killed in the village. Next. This girl in that red muffler or the scarf sitting on the lap of her ex-husband. And you see, her photograph is already garlanded, just above. And the whole family is convinced that this is none other than the same lady. At this age, she has given details. Can you imagine how young this girl is? But she gave full details of her relationship with the previous family members. Next. This is another person who has been studying reincarnation. There are many cases, I have just given a few. Next. So Krishna says, Dehi nosmin yatha dehe kaumaram yavanam jara. As an embodied soul continually passes in this life from boyhood to youth to old age, the soul similarly passes into another body at death. And a sober, self-realized person is not bewildered by such a change. Next. Here we see two children, you know, who were neighbors, who were very close together, friends. Next. Later, actually, he joined the army, they got married. Next. And this is their current status. If you see this picture, and if you see the previous, the first one, you won't recognize that these are the same people. That means the body has changed. Every 7 years the body changes. Not one cell remains the same. But we never think we change, because actually the soul never changes. The soul is the only thing that remains constant. Next. So, vasamsi jirnani yatha vihaya navani grihnati naroparani tatha sharirani vihaya jirnani anyani samyati navani dehi. Gita says, as a person gives up an old garment, worn out garment, to put on new garments, similarly, a soul gives up old bodies to take up new ones when they are old and worn out. So, this man is entering the mouth of death, entering the door of death, and coming out through other door, making his entry, but in a different body. That's the science of coming back. Reincarnation, as it is called. Next. So even within the body, the body is changing, but we don't notice it. Just like in a film, the light is the same, but the film moves so fast that on the screen it looks one particular motion. If you see the films, then there is a huge reel of, and it goes at a particular speed. When it moves at a particular speed, it looks as one single motion. But these are many, many individual photos taken fast together, which makes a permanent, one single motion. Similarly, the body is regularly changing, but because it is so imperceptible, we don't think we are changing. Can skip that. Yeah, next. That is the last one. Oh, this is very interesting. I would like to just tell you one. This is the last one, that's all? Okay. I thought we had one more. This is very interesting. In a church in Rome, all the previous people who were preachers, they used to bury them inside the church compound. And ultimately so many skeletons were there. And they have been put up all this. And then in front there is a message that these church people have written. And this is the message of these skulls that we are speaking to us. And the message is, what you are, we used to be. And what we are, you will be. What you are, fleshy, wonderful, fresh, young people, we used to be. And what we are, skeletons, you will be. Sending the message, death is very sure. But before we die, we should realize that we never die. Such a person is self-realized. And such a person knows no fear. So, can we have the lights on? Now, anyone can say, thank you very much. Now I have realized that I am not the body, I am the soul. Now I think I am self-realized. I am living. I don't think, I don't need to know anymore. Simply theoretically knowing that we are not the body is not enough. You have to actually realize. It is self-realization, not self-understanding. Because if we don't realize, this knowledge is useless. I would like to conclude with one little story. How simply saying, I am not the body, I am the soul, I am Satchidananda, that's not enough. If you are not the body or the soul, what are you doing about it? There was once a sage, and once a group of parrots visited the sage. And the parrots told the sage, please give us blessings. So the sage said, I am going to give you a mantra. You have to chant this mantra. He was from UP. So he gave a Hindi mantra. He told the parrots, listen carefully. Shikari aayega, jaal bichhayega, dana dalega, lob se usme fasna nahi. The hunter will come, lay his net, put some grains. Out of greed, don't get caught. He said, please chant this mantra. And all the parrots said, shikari aayega, jaal bichhayega, dana dalega, lob se usme fasna nahi. Chant 108 times on beads. Okay, shikari aayega, jaal bichhayega, dana dalega, lob se usme fasna nahi. Memorize the mantra? Yes, Gurudev. Okay, tathastu, be happy. And the bird started flying in the air. Shikari aayega, jaal bichhayega, dana dalega, lob se usme fasna nahi. And as they were flying, they were crossing over a forest and they saw that there were beautiful fresh grains there. Because the hunter had come, put his net and put the grains on top. And they all sat there, they were eating the grains. And sure enough, after some time, the hunter came, they all tried to fly, nothing happened. The hunter released the net, put it on his shoulder, all the birds were caught in the net. He was taking them home for a big feast. And from inside the net, they could hear the sound. Shikari aayega, jaal bichhayega, dana dalega, lob se usme fasna. They understood the mantra. They memorized the mantra. But there was no realization. So simply saying, I am not the body, I am the soul. I am not the body, I am the soul, is not enough. We have to actually realize, if you are not the body, we are the soul. What should we do? It's simply this. The body, as long as it is there, it should be maintained. And that's why we feed the body. Right? Morning, afternoon, evening. But why are we not happy? We are not happy because the soul is thirsty. The soul is hungry. And the soul is not being fed. The food for the soul is different from the food for the body. It's like a lady who bought a parrot and she put it in a cage of solid gold. And every day she would polish the cage in the morning, afternoon and evening. After 15 days she saw that the parrot is on the verge of death. She was shocked. She said, I spent so much money on the cage. What happened? And then she realized she was so busy polishing the cage that she forgot to feed the bird. Now we may laugh at this story of this old lady. But the scripture says that all of us are like this lady. If very diligently, very laboriously, every day we take care of the body, we dress the body, we nourish the body, we bathe the body, we decorate the body. But the real self, the parrot within the cage, is actually hungry, is actually thirsty, is desperate. Until and unless the soul is fed along with the body, we will never become happy. Another example is given of a driver in a car. If you polish the car, put petrol to the car, the driver cannot be happy. And you can't feed petrol to the driver. Because the car is different. The food for the car is different from the food for the driver. Similarly, the body is made up of earth, water, fire, air, ether. And it requires food that is made up of earth, water, fire, air, ether. But the soul is made up of spiritual element. And therefore, simply eating your food for the body cannot satisfy the soul. The soul also requires its food every day if it wants to be nourished in spiritual life. Now one may ask, what is the food for the soul? That is described in all the bona fide scriptures of the world, one thing is common, as we were discussing the other day. In all the scriptures, the essence, the principle is common. And what is that? The food for the soul is the holy name of God. As we take bath every day, as we dress ourselves every day, as we nourish our body through food every day, more important than the food for the body is the food for the soul. Until and unless we regularly do not nourish the soul through the chanting of the holy name of God, irrespective of whichever religion we belong to, we can never become happy. Every scripture agrees on this point. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy name be glorified. In fact, in the Islam, they chant the 99 names of Allah. They have the rosary on which they chant. The pious Muslims, you may have seen, the pious Christians, they have this rosary on which they chant the name of the Lord. Even in Granth Sahib, it is said, Kalyuga Kevala Nama Dhara Sumara Sumara Narutare Para. In Kalyuga, the only way is to chant the holy name of the Lord. And in the Kali Santaran Upanishad and Brihan Naradiya Puran, it is said, Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Harir Nama Eva Kevalam, Kalau Nasteva 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 Gatiranyata. There is no other way, no other way, no other way for self-realization than chanting the holy name, chanting the holy name, chanting the holy name. You may ask why it has been said three times. Because this is Kali Yuga and people are forgetful. What did you say? I forgot. And 5 minutes ago you said something. Therefore, for Kali Yuga, it is said, Harir Nama, Harir Nama, Harir Nama Eva Kevalam. This is positive. And to make sure, Kalau Na Asti Eva, Na Asti Eva, Na Asti Eva Gatiranyatha. There is no other way. And in the 108 Upanishads, there is one Upanishad which is meant for Kali Yuga, specially for Kali Yuga. And in that Kali Santaran Upanishad, Kali means Kali Yuga, what we discussed yesterday. Santarana, Santarana means, Taran means to cross over. Santaran means completely cross over. So that Upanishad gives the way how to cross the age of Kali. Even being in the Kali Yuga, just like a lotus, being in the water, but not becoming of the water. It doesn't get wet. How to be in the material world and still advance spiritually is by regularly nourishing and bathing the soul in the nectarian holy name of the Lord. And therefore, our sincere request, generally at this particular time, we have a short chanting session. So, do we have the beads here? Prabhu, Hare Krishna, you're just calling. So at this time, I would just quickly like to distribute a set of beads and I'll show you what is this process. So it shouldn't become that I'm not the body, I'm the soul, but you are not feeding the soul regularly. That's what, otherwise it's like, we are like a fish out of water. When the fish is out of water, it can never be happy. But fish can be, yeah. So I would like to show you how we chant. Oh yeah, he's got it. Thank you. Can you just give a bunch to each and distribute it? Can you give me one? Oh, it's all tangled up. Okay, I'll just like to show you how we chant. These beads, this is exclusively for chanting, and this particular head is called the Meru bead. We don't chant on this. And then there are 108 beads which represents the 108 Upanishads, the essence of which is to know God. So we don't chant on this forefinger, we hold it like this, and on each bead we chant one mantra. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Then we pull it to our side. Then you go to the next one. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Then we go to the next one. Then we chant one name, then we go to the next one. So in this way, actually, when you come to 108, that's called one mala, which takes about any time, anything between 5 to 10 minutes, 7 to 10 minutes. So I would just briefly like to request you to, we will just chant for 2-3 minutes so that you can get an experience of what this chanting is. Or Prabhuji, you can do one thing. I think it's going to take some time. We would rather have question answers. So we can just sit straight and just maybe chant on our fingers like this. You know, 5-10 times. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. Something like this. But I would request that let us try to close our eyes and without going to sleep. It's a very tiring day, I know. At the end of the day. So let us concentrate on hearing the holy name for about 2-3 minutes. Then we'll take up questions. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Hare Krishna. Thank you. So this was just to give you a sample of how do we chant. I would recommend that if you can do it every day, you will feel very enlivened, not only externally but even from within. No, you can keep it afterwards, we'll return. So in conclusion, we discussed who is Krishna. Then the question is, the nature of the Lord is, He is Anandamayo Bhyasat. By nature, the God is all blissful. The nature of God is, He is all blissful. But another of His nature is, everything about Him is ever expanding. So to expand His bliss, He expanded Himself into parts and parcels. And they are the living entities. Simply for His enjoyment, simply for His bliss, He expands. Just like husband and wife come together, they're happy. But the more the merrier, therefore they expand themselves in the form of family. And the more children they have, the more merrier. At least it was supposed to be Vedic culture. But then, the question arises, the Lord expanded, He is having Ras Leela and His children are suffering here. What kind of a God is He who is enjoying Himself at the cost of sufferings of others? People are dying, people are getting old, people are getting diseased, people, so many problems are there. And how can a father enjoy himself when he sees his children suffering so much? Isn't it? Isn't that a question that comes to people's mind? He expanded Himself for enjoyment, but we are suffering. And then how can God be all merciful and all loving when people are suffering? And why isn't He doing something about it? In fact, why did He create in such a way that everyone is suffering? This is the question that will be answered tomorrow. Why do bad things happen to good people, or the vice versa? Why do good things happen to bad people? Why is there so much suffering in the world? And why isn't God doing something about it? Why good people are suffering? Why terrible things happen in the lives of those who are very sincere, or many times very gentle and very moral? In fact, this is such a crucial question that in times of distress, people become totally atheistic. Even pious people become atheists, or atheists become very pious all of a sudden. Anything can happen. So therefore, tomorrow, we will begin with this question. Why do bad things happen to good people, or the law of karma? So we'll start sharp at 7. Now I would like to have a small discussion. I specifically tried to end early so that we will give some time for question answers. We can take about 10 minutes of them. So if there are any questions, you are welcome. Yes. Can you pass the mic? We have a mic, so you can speak. Yeah.
Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Can you speak on the mic, into the mic?
Yes. Hare Krishna Prabhu.
Yeah.
The subtle body, and you mentioned the subtle body consists of the mind, intelligence and false ego. So when the soul leaves the body, so these elements also go with the soul. In that case, when the soul takes another body, so the same mind, so intelligence and so false ego will be there. That is one question. Second question.
Let's take one at a time.
Okay.
Yes. It is the same soul, same mind and same false ego that we carry till we become liberated. Till we become liberated. And what is the next question?
It's a little different. That is, you mentioned many examples where the several people had past life experiences.
Yeah.
So what is the spiritual explanation for that? Means why we don't, why everybody doesn't have that knowledge about the past life?
Yeah, very interesting. In fact, this lady, Satvan Pasricha, she also doesn't believe in the soul. And we were sitting and I was discussing the Bhagavad Gita. And I said, why don't you believe in the soul? You have been studying so many cases who are reborn. She said, that's all right, but why everyone doesn't remember? Right? It's a fact. If it's a fact that everyone is reincarnating, why doesn't everyone remember? It is the law of karma. It is the mercy of the Lord that you don't remember. Otherwise, you will go mad. You will go crazy. You will have identity crisis. Just imagine if you remember last 700 births. What to speak of 700? One or two births. Actually, this, I would like to tell you one incident. This boy, Deep Kapadia, I had called him once to speak to our boys. And they were asking him, what happened? You know, who killed you? What happened? How did he plan you? And what would you do in vacation time? What, you know, so many, they were just pressing, and he was trying. And at one time he said, please don't ask me too many. You know, like he developed fever. He develops headache whenever he goes into it. Therefore, people want to forget it. In fact, it's not a pleasant experience. They feel very pained. And the more they try to stress and strain to think, they get fever, they get headache. And not only that, they will have identity crisis. Imagine you remember your previous, and you know, whom do you relate to? Therefore, it is the mercy by nature. The nature has been arranged in such a way, even what to speak of that, within this life, if someone has badly insulted you, some bad experiences like death, previous death is such a bad experience, nobody wants to remember that. Even in this life, if you have been insulted, if you have been hurt by someone, you want to forget. You don't want to talk about that experience. Right? Again and again you don't. Because if you relive through that experience, it gives you the same emotions and it's very painful. So, it is nature's arrangement that when the child is in the womb, the child remembers. But the process of birth, he forgets everything. It is the mercy. It's the Lord's mercy that he has created in such a way that you forget. Krishna says in the 15th chapter, 15th verse of the Bhagavad Gita, Sarvasya chaham hridi sannivishto matta smritir jnanam apohanam cha. He says, I am seated in everyone's heart as the Paramatma. From me comes knowledge, remembrance and forgetfulness. Remembrance is his mercy. When you want to turn to him, he will give you remembrance. When you want to forget him, he will give you forgetfulness. Without his mercy, you can't even forget. So, it is his mercy that we are made to forget. Because if he were to remember all those things, every detail of every life, every kind of suffering, every kind of death that we went through, people will, as I said, 42,000 scorpions biting. It's a very painful experience, death. If you were to remember what you went through in the previous, you will have a very bad psychological experience. So this is his mercy. Yeah? Can you use the mic so that... No, for the benefit of others also. Please use.
Hello. All those instances, I have noticed one thing, that either they have been murdered or killed or drowned. It was not natural death. Is it so?
That's also very interesting. That's also very interesting. Because it says, most of them had a violent death. In this case, most of them had a violent death. Somebody drowned in the well, or untimely death. This is one interesting phenomenon that's noticed. But not necessarily that this is true. But in the scriptures it is said, if you are too attached to that body, you hover around and you may remember. Very deeply attached. Then they don't get a gross body. They just hover around for some time. And one thing she told, which is very interesting, she said, most of these children in the early age, they desperately wanted to go to that family. They were not attached to this family where they were. They were wanting to go. They had to be restrained, taken and brought back again. But once they were grown up, 6, 7, 8 years, then they slowly forgot and they didn't want to go then. Except one or two, that lady who remembered. So, it's a very special kind of karma. That detail, I'm not aware much. But why certain people remember, why don't some people? Actually, we will discuss that tomorrow. It's a bad karma. It's actually a punishment to remember your previous life. It's not a blessing. It's horrible to remember all the previous life. Because you have identity crisis, you are confused, you don't know how you have, you know, like psychologically, how to place your affection, how to relate. It's actually not a very pleasant thing.
But sometimes we feel that I have gone through this. Sometimes we feel that I have seen this somewhere. Isn't that the same thing?
In neurological term, it's called déjà vu phenomena. That means you feel like, it seems very familiar. You know, probably some remembrance of any one of those previous lives may happen. Probably. That may not, the impressions are there. Whatever impressions we made in this life, those impressions are there. The details are forgotten. Suppose I had a strong desire to get something and I die. That desire is maintained in next life. But for what I desired, in what way, that is, detail is forgotten. The impressions are maintained, no doubt. And they are meted out next life. Anything? Yeah?
One man named by Ramesh Sharma claims from Ahmedabad that he can take any...
Can you use the mic properly?
That he can take any individual into the past life.
Uh-huh.
Is it possible by putting him in trance or something?
I've heard
individual, he can take it to the past.
I have heard psychologists use, during hypnosis, they use one technique called regression. Regression means they tell you, after hypnotizing, they tell you to go 1 year back, 2 years back, 3 years back, 4, 5, 6. Go to the time when you were 1 year old, 1 month old. Then, you know, when you're in the womb of your mother, then go back. I don't know, but some cases in this particular lady, in her report review, she mentions that this is one kind of proof. When they regress, they are taken to some other thing. But she mentions that sometimes it can be made up also. You don't know. But it's a fact that they report. It's a fact that they report that regression is one way of, one proof. Yeah, yeah. They're transported to the previous existence. And they start talking in a different language and different voice also. If she was a woman, then you know that voice also changes. She starts crying, and you know, young, when children, their voice becomes like children, it seems. Yeah, when they're remembering, everything turns like that. That's what this lady has reported. Yeah.
Soul enters, like when a child is in the womb of a mother.
Yeah.
So at what time the soul enters the body, or how the soul is placed within the heart?
The Bhagavad says, Pumso Retaha Kanashrayah. The soul enters the womb through the semen of the father. The semen contains the soul, and that enters the mother. And then the child. That's why the zygote that grows. Right? Otherwise, if there was no life, it wouldn't have grown in the first place at all. It wouldn't have, the cells would not have multiplied. So the mere fact that it is multiplying, growing, because any dead matter cannot grow. It will only decay. So the scriptures say that it grows right from day one. That means in the sperm itself it contains, and through that it grows. And how that comes? That comes through different forms of eatables. Yeah. We eat, you know, whatever food stuff, through trees. Particular kind of souls enter. The whole cycle is described. How it goes, comes through the rain, and then it becomes grain, and then the grain is intaken. I mean, that intake is there. And then at a particular time it enters. And then, therefore, abortion is considered sinful. Sometimes say, no, it is very young, you can kill, because all the bodily features are not there. But if it is not there, still the soul is there, because otherwise it wouldn't have grown. Therefore, in the scriptures, it is considered that abortion is sinful, whether it is after 1 month, 3 months, or not after. They say that when the child is grown after 4 months, then it's okay. But till then, it's just tissue removal, they call it. You know, just casually name it as very innocent name, MTP, you know, medical termination of pregnancy, or tissue removal. So it's not, because right from day one, it's life is there. That clear? Yeah. Yes.
It's a supportive question. Like they say, when the soul exists, the body, it exists from the forehead. Is it true? Like
it exists from the
forehead.
No, there are 9 holes. It can pass through anyone. And according to which hole it passes through, that thing is known. Generally, it just passes through the mouth, or it can pass through the lower holes in the body, the anus and the genitals, or it can pass through the higher holes in the body. But great yogis, they, through asanas, they control, they close all the 9 holes of the body and bring the soul up, and through the Brahma Randhra above the head, where you have our Shikha, there is a hole that's called Brahma Randhra. It bursts out and goes. But that requires tremendous yogic endeavor, control. And when that leaves through Brahma Randhra, then a yogi can desire his destiny. He can chalk out his destiny. But generally, in our case, it doesn't leave. In an ordinary man's case, it doesn't leave like that. Either it leaves through the mouth, or it leaves through any one of the.
So, a when a newborn baby is born, so the area on his head is quite soft. Is it connected to it somewhere?
No, no. Every part of the body, including the head, is very soft. That's there, but that's not connected that it has entered from there. No. Not. It's there right from day one. Even when the embryos of the or the parts of the body are not developed yet. Yeah? Can you pass behind? There's one. He raised his hand first. So let us. He there. You can ask later.
Is the soul decides to enter which body, individual souls, or God decides for individual soul to enter which body?
Yeah.
And if a soul decides himself,
yeah,
then is there any problem when the two souls decide to enter in the same body?
Very interesting. They'll have fight to enter Birla's son, or you know. Then 10 people would like to enter and he will have schizophrenic personality. No. The Bhagavad describes that. Karmana daivanetrena jantur deha upapattai. Two things. One is your activities and supervision from top. Daivanetrena. There is a supervisor, Yama, the Lord of Death, who takes note of everything. He's like the examination. Life is a preparation, death is the examination. Till examination, you have a choice how to perform, where you want to go, which class. You want to stay in the same class or you want to go next class. Once you write the examination paper, your job is done. You simply have to wait for the result. And according to your activities, how you have written your exam, and according to the supervisor's mercy, he will decide whether you stay in the same class or go to the next class or double promotion or double demotion. So, two things. Karmana, daivanetrena. We'll discuss tomorrow. What karma decides where you will go? Urdhvam gacchanti sattvastha. If you act in the mode of goodness, you go to the higher realms. Devaloka. If you act in the mode of passion, you remain in the same, wherever, whichever lifestyle you are. And if you act in the mode of ignorance, adhogachanti tamasa. So, we have a choice before we die by our activities. By the kind of activities, you prepare your next body. Therefore, human life is very responsible. In animal life, this choice is not there. They are simply going up, that's all. But in human form of life, you have a choice. You want to go up, you want to remain, or you want to go down. The choice is only, it's a junction. Human life is a junction. Others are, you know, single way trains. From low to high to high. We will discuss that tomorrow. So, two things. Number one is your activities. So, before you die, you can determine where you want to go. But after death, you simply have to leave to higher authorities. They will supervise, they will judge, they will decide, and they will put you. And you are helplessly put in whichever body they put you. You are helpless. After death, you are helplessly taken and put anywhere they want. Of course, they won't put anywhere. They are not whimsical. They also act under higher authorities. But choice is there only before we die. Therefore, it's very responsible. Yes, Prabhuji. Yeah, 1 minute. Yeah.
Hare Krishna, Prabhuji. Today it has been discussed that we are not body, we are soul. And we are, after dying, we are changing the body. Now, I would like to know, in our society, people are performing some vidhi after 13 days or 12 days. And they are cutting pind and they are selling that the resistance was cut. I would like to know whether we are occupying the other body immediately after that or within 13 days, what is the situation?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. How long after that? I was asking this lady, when did that previous person die and when did that person was born? And she told me, she gave different reasons, but she said approximately 7 to 8 months. 7 to 8 months. So, death is actually a sleep. Just like night we go to sleep and morning we get up. 7-8 hours of sleep. Similarly, death means a little longer sleep before you get up in the another body. But This depends upon which kind of body, which kind of things you are. If you are in a human body, that may be different. That means 9 months or something. If it is in a different species, then their lifespan is different. So their 9 months is different. Their period is different. So therefore, it depends according to the species. It depends according to many other factors. But the fact is, approximately it's about 7 to 8 months before the next body is got. Yeah? Can you pass the mic here?
Prabhuji, what about the cloning?
What about?
Cloning.
Cloning. So what about it?
So what is the explanation for that? So it's like you take a DNA out and then...
What happens in cloning? Can you explain?
What I have heard is they take out a DNA from one body.
Yeah.
And somehow they develop it in another body, and what is developed is exactly similar to the previous one.
Yeah.
Just like that Dolly case which you all have heard.
Yeah, yeah. Many folly before the Dolly. You know how many were born deformed before one Dolly was made? Literally 1,000. More than 1,000. Follies before the Dolly. And if it were really to be successful, why aren't they doing it now? It's just like grafting. You see, if you take chemicals and make it into life, that is, then everything is in Bhagavad Gita is defeated. But what you're doing is manipulating. What is test tube baby? It's not that in a test tube you're putting chemicals and off comes a baby. You're taking as already a sperm which is there, and the, you know, the ovum which is already there, and instead of raising it in the womb, you create an artificial environment within the test tube, and after that you inject it back into the womb, and then the child is born. So test tube baby, for layman it's like, test tube mein bachche ko paida kiya? As if, you know, put some chemicals, abracadabra, and then, you know, out comes this one. No. Actually, it's the human thing taken and manipulated. So what you have done is not created, you have simply manipulated. And if you are, as long as you are not aware, and if you are not authorized, you will create a lot of problems. This is karma. It's a dangerous karma. Just like, if you manufacture liquor in your backyard, you can manufacture, but you will get tremendous reaction. Because it is illicit liquor. You are not supposed to, you know, distillery, government said, you know, like that. You can, but you can't create from chemicals. This is a challenge. You manufacture an egg in your factory, sit on it, hatch it, and produce a chicken. Then we will throw the Bhagavad Gita into the dustbin. But if you take one soul from one cell, if you take a cell, what is a cell? Cell means amoeba. Amoeba is a single-celled animal, but it's a living entity. It has a soul. You take a living entity, manipulate it to produce another way. That is different. But challenges we would accept, and this doesn't change. This is not against what we are speaking. But the thing is, when you take just dead chemicals, material chemicals, add them and make a living entity, then that raises, that makes this whole theory useless. But till then, if you don't have better theory, accept this theory because it explains everything. Does that satisfy you? Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, 1 minute. Can you use the mic, please? Can you switch it on?
Every cell has an individual soul.
Yeah.
Human body has a crore of cells. Then there are crore of souls.
Yes. That's an interesting question. Every cell has an individual soul, and the body has billions of them. That means there are billions of souls in this body. Right? Actually, you should understand that in one sense that is true, but there is a primary living entity. Just like if the soul leaves, this soul, the primary occupant of this body leaves, all the body starts disintegrating. They can't live on their own. They are not individual souls like that. There is a primary soul which is the main occupant. Just like I live in this home, but there may be many ants living here, but they are not the proprietors. You know, like that. So the primary soul, just like the trees also, if the main soul leaves, the whole tree dries up. So that soul, what we are talking about, individual soul, is that one. There may be many germs in the body. They are independent. But the whole organ belongs to one person. That person is only one. That primary entity is one. And what is the proof? If that soul lives, everything dies. In that sense. Does that make sense? You are happy? Yeah.
Was Gautam Buddha
an avatar of Lord Krishna? Yes, very much.
Then he has also searched the solution on the real problem of human life.
Yeah.
Human being. But he has not referred the soul or Paramatma or Atma.
Yes. So we were discussing the day before yesterday.
Did not this controversial?
Yeah. His question is, Gautam Buddha is considered an incarnation of God, but he has not talked about soul. He has not talked about Paramatma. How do we understand this? Because Krishna says, Dharma Sansthapanarthaya Sambhavami Yuge Yuge. We were discussing the other day. Buddha is an incarnation of God, but he came with a specific purpose. At that particular time, Vedas were misused by the so-called Brahmanas at that time. The Vedic rituals recommend sacrificing animals to give them a human form. When they were sacrificed, they would get human form. When they, Ashwamedha Yajna, Gomedha Yajna, when they sacrifice an old horse, and it would get a human body immediately. But in Kali Yuga, the potency is lost of the Brahmanas, of the mantras, everything. So we are not supposed to do that. But at that time, during the Buddha's time, just before Buddha's time, the Brahmanas had made their temples into as slaughterhouses. In the name of Veda, they were slaughtering animals. So therefore, he came to preach an Upadharma. Not Sanatana Dharma. Upadharma of Ahimsa. So, just like I was explaining the other day to that lady who asked, if there is a main road, the government has made a main road, but if the tree falls or, you know, some major repair has to be done in the main road. So if the main road is blocked, what do you do? The government itself makes a detour, takes a bypass. But the bypass is not permanently. It made, then it comes like this, then it joins the main road. So when it was broken, Buddha came as an emergency incarnation. And he cheated the people. In one sense, Lord is a cheater, is a big cheater. Whatever he does perfectly. So, he said, the Brahmana said, he said Ahimsa. So the Brahmana said, no, Vedas are saying. So Buddha said, I reject the Vedas. What you follow, I reject the Vedas. And he was mainly stressing on Ahimsa, which is a Upadharma, a subordinate religion. And then, when asked, what about the soul, what about God? He said, Buddha is beyond it. But indirectly he achieved the ultimate purpose of Veda. What is the purpose of Veda? To worship the Lord. Even though he doesn't talk of Paramatma, even though he doesn't talk of God, even though he doesn't talk of soul, everyone worships Buddha. Right?
But he has not told to worship him.
But still, why do they worship him? If he is not God, there is no God. Why are they worshipping him? So this was his trickery. He said nothing is there because he took a detour. Then came Shankara. Shankaracharya came, who is actually an incarnation of Lord Shiva. He gave that, yes, what you are calling Nirvana is the same as Brahman. So that was, but he brought it to the Vedic fold. Buddhism was very much spread after Ashoka. But then Shankara's job was to take off Buddhism from India and establish Vedic fold again. But he was impersonalist. He said, Brahman, Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma, Tattvamasi, Aham Brahmasmi. But then came Ramanuja. He brought it closer, Vishishta Advaita. Then came Madhva, Madhvacharya, who said Dvaita. The God is different, living entities are different. You can't become one. And then came Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is considered an incarnation of the Lord, who joined it to the main road. And what is the essence of the Vedic scriptures? Achintya Bheda Abheda. We are one and we are different. We are one with God in quality, but we are different in quantity. So there is Advaita. That means we are non-different from God because we are also Satchidananda, he is also Satchidananda. But we are Dvaita, different, because we are tiny part, spark, and he is the super fire. So in that way, it was a major plan. So we accept the Buddha, but not his teachings. In the Vedic scriptures, we don't accept his teachings. Because that was an emergency thing. It was not Sanatan Dharma. In that sense. Because he had a purpose to fulfill.
What's the purpose of that avatar, Buddha's avatar? He's mentioned in scriptures.
Yeah, it is mentioned. Why he will come? Sadaya hridaya darshita pashu ghatam. Sadaya, out of compassion. Sadaya hridaya. His heart was full of compassion. Why? Darshita pashu ghatam. Slaughtering of animals was going on. Therefore, he, just like medical rule says, without anesthesia, you can't do surgery. Right? But in a war field, there is an emergency. If a fellow is about to die, he's got a bullet wound, and he's about to die in 1 hour, if you don't take out, then you, no anesthesia, so, you know, I can't do. Just catch him and take him to the hospital, which is 200 kilometers away. No. Four people catch him, somebody closes his mouth and pull out the bullet. But that doesn't mean, just because that worked, even in the hospital, why waste anesthesia? Just catch hold of that fellow and cut him into... No. That is an emergency. In an emergency, all rules are neglected. But you can't, on a regular basis, do that. So, animals were being slaughtered. So, Buddha, out of compassion, and they were giving the excuse of Vedas. So, he said, forget the Vedas. But indirectly, they started worshipping him. So he achieved the purpose in an indirect way.
But follower may have taken a wrong message.
That happens.
By themselves.
That happens with every follower. There are two, I will told you, two kinds of followers of Gandhi. One who say, swear by khadi, live by khadi. Even if it is imported khadi. And the other understand the principle and live by. So you will always find different kinds of. So one last question, if there is any. Yeah.
You are told subtle soul. How much time takes subtle soul to get the rebirth?
First subtle thing. Body?
Subtle soul. How much time to carry after death to get the rebirth? Secondly.
That's what he asked. I gave the reason. Depends on the species. Generally about approximately 7 to 8 months.
And one thing more. This subtle soul, when it goes to the next birth, how it remember the old thing so that he can do two type of thing, either good or bad. Suppose I want to go to bad or I want to go to good. How I will choose the good things to go? As I have seen in the Bhagavad Gita, that Bhagavad Gita cannot read till that Bhagavan Krishna wants that he should be able to read. So whether it is connected by the old birth, whether I am able to read that Bhagavad Gita?
No, both are right. Partly your previous karmas will affect and partly you have your independence. Right now you have a choice. You want to stay in the class or you want to walk out. No one can stop you. You can come tomorrow or not come. That's your choice. But why the advertisement was made, but why only 90 people came? Why not 900? Of course, that's a discussion for tomorrow. You're going one step ahead. We will discuss about the law of karma, how things work. You are partly right. But the independence is always there. Once you use the independence, then the result is out of your question. And as regards coming to God, there are two ways. One is, He invites you, welcomes you from front. If you don't, his servant kicks you from behind. A father has two ways of inviting the child, a wayward child. Beta, come home, I'll give you all the facility you want, you know. Sorry, whatever happened. He says, no, 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 no. Then he sends an agent, gives him money. Kick that fellow hard, then he'll come running. So God has two energies. Through his internal energy, he personally comes. Dharma sansthapanarthaya sambhavami. He performs beautiful pastimes. He sends his servants. Muhammad claimed him to be the servant of God, messenger of God. Jesus Christ was the son of God. He sends his son. He sends his representative. He sends the scriptures. He himself comes. Sambhavami yuge yuge. And calls you, please come. This is good for you. And if you don't, he tells Maya Devi. Birth, old age, disease, death. Slap, slap, slap. Ultimately you say, why am I being slapped unnecessarily? Oh, this is what I did. So there are two ways. Either you voluntarily come, otherwise you will be involuntarily kicked from behind till you learn your lesson. Intelligent man is he who takes the first option. Anyway, you have to go, but how long? That's your choice. So I think it's...
So do you mean this depends upon the sense of Krishna?
Pardon?
Does it mean that it depends upon I can read, not read the Bhagavad Gita till that Krishna wanted?
No. Krishna wants, nobody wants you to stay here. Krishna wants you to come home. But it is our desire that we have stayed here. We'll discuss that tomorrow. So just one little announcement, I think. So, just one, many of you have got these beads. If you would like to take it, you may just, how much is it? 10 rupees? Okay, otherwise you can, as you're going out, you can return the beads. And just one more thing I wanted to ask. On Saturday, we have a program arranged. Earlier this was announced, long back, 2 months back, this program. So some other program is going to take place at this place at the same time. Not this place, at above, but there will be about, we are expecting about 500 to 600 people and they'll be needing this place. So we have a choice. Saturday we can begin little early, quite early, about 5:36, or we can postpone the last days to Sunday afternoon or evening, say 5 o'clock. So I would like to take a vote. Now the election mood is there everywhere. But of course, we want only 100%. This is not democracy, because we want every one of you to come. Even if for one of you it is difficult, I think we can't do it. I'm really sorry that this program was arranged earlier. I was not aware when we announced these dates. But we have to finish by 9 o'clock. But the last day is really important. And we have to begin a little early, which means about 5 o'clock. So, let's take a vote. How many of you would like to come on Saturday at 5? Only Northern language, so Northern Belt she had visited. And she said many reasons, sometimes they don't report. Very elite people, they don't report even if there is a case. Because if they report, that family may come and start, you know, asking for money, my child and all that. And it relates into so many complications. So therefore she said that many of them don't report. Even if it is, they somehow, keep it, but these are cases when it was actually known and they refer to someone for some assistance. So in reported cases, she went. That's all. That's why. Otherwise, she says it's common everywhere, all over the world. Okay, thank you very much. Hare Krishna.